Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bai. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bai.
Jake Shapiro here, not Zach Bai, filling in on Mile High Hoops today. And it is an amazing time for basketball. The NBA is really ramping up. I think the postseason starts exactly a month from today. Obviously, March Madness going on started in earnest today because there was the first four. But I really wanted to talk about, to start the show, what's going on with the Denver Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. specifically in the second half of the NBA season since the All-Star break, because I have been flattered with his play, obviously, as the guy from DenverSports.com that goes to most Nuggets games for this site. I see Michael Porter Jr. a lot. And I think the thing that impressed me most by watching him every single game last year was just the strides he was making in becoming a complete player. It wasn't every night, but you saw as he came back from his back injury last year that not only was he recovering, right? He was trying to get back to just who he was as a shooter, as an athletic guy. Everyone has seen his high school mixtape where he's one of the most athletic guys ever, right? But adding stuff to his game at the same time as that recovery. And a lot of that was the dribble drive stuff, getting downhill, getting into the paint. His finishing last year, I think, took a huge leap. And most impressive last year was his defense. In fact, his defense was so good that he was playable in the NBA Finals despite really not being able to shoot the ball at all. And then you see the big play down the stretch in the NBA Finals of Game 5 was him getting that dribble drive layup off the Euro step to basically seal the deal for the Nuggets. So you saw both aspects of his game. And, you know, I go back to the Phoenix Suns series in the second round. And Michael Porter Jr. as a backline help side defender on DeAndre Ayton against the Phoenix Suns, I thought was terrific. He was essentially playing power forward in that series because Aaron Gordon had the perimeter assignment of Kevin Durant most of the time. And that is really a cheat code for the Nuggets, the fact that they can play this 6'10" guy at small forward or power forward. And it's either a mismatch because he's so oversized for the small forward position, or he is one of the best shooters on the planet playing the four position. So that's why I call him a tall forward. But what I've seen this year is it's not like last year where some games it would be the shooting and the finishing, or the shooting and the defense, or the defense and the finishing. This year, you're starting to see MPJ, especially early on in the season, develop games where he would have an all-around game, right? It would be he's doing all three things at once. Sometimes, in fact, even passing the ball, okay, which is just a bonus when you have the Denver Nuggets, who are one of the best passing teams in the NBA. And, you know, Michael Porter Jr. does not need to create on this team. So just another bonus. So you had that in the first half of the season, but it was inconsistent. It wasn't every single game where Mike was coming out and looking like this all-around player. All-star break hits. Mike has been on almost every single game coming out of the all-star break, adding something to the team all around. Only two games since the All-Star break has he scored fewer than 10 points. He's averaging 20.4 points a game, which is up from 4 from his season average. So if you did the first half, it'd be like he's scoring 5 more points a game or so in the second half of the season than he was in the first half. And he's getting 7 boards a game, which is a little bit above his season average, shooting 44% from deep, 55% from the field. He's honestly been a monster, and 92% from the free throw line. So anytime you get one of those 40, 50, 90 guys, it's, you know, awesome. Let alone the fact that Mike is grabbing 7 boards a game. So I've just been so impressed with what Mike has done. I said the other day on Twitter, I think he's been the second best Nuggets player since the All-Star break. Maybe that was a little hyperbolic because you do look at the game score in the 14, 15 games since the All-Star break. And it's a 16.7, which is just a metric that NBA Reference uses to encompass all sorts of metrics during a game and, you know, kind of puts a one number on a guy. Jamal Murray's been 19.0. And it really got me thinking, looking at these numbers, just how well Jamal and Mike have played since the All-Star break, right? I wanted to focus on Mike, but I just want to throw this side note in on Jamal. Everyone's focused in on Nikola Jokic, who has been unbelievable since the All-Star break, and his first week after the All-Star break was just like, oh my God, this is the greatest basketball player of all time. And we've seen some moments like that since. But Jamal has been really good. Both Jamal and Mike have raised their shooting percentages. Both of them are scoring more points a game. Both of them are throwing more, you know, adding more to their games. Mike with the rebounding, Jamal with the assist. Jamal's getting 7.5 assists a game since the All-Star break. So the Nuggets are really playing just the best basketball as they approach the postseason. They're 12-2 since the All-Star break. And you know, it's weird because in the NBA, generally the record post All-Star break is not indicative of how good a team is. Like, we saw the Lakers be unbelievable in the second half of the season last year, right? And it didn't mean anything because we saw how much better the Nuggets were. But I think because there is a race for the one seed in the top spot in the West, I think these things really do matter of how well you're playing down the stretch and can you turn it on? And we've seen over and over and over and over and over again, the Nuggets have answered the question of, yes, they can flip that on switch. And Michael Porter Jr. has proven to be a guy that is reliable and can flip the on switch. Not all the time. He's not there yet. He's not the Jamal Murray, like, you need a bucket in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Jamal Murray is going to hit that on switch, or Nikola Jokic is going to hit that on switch. We've seen most clutch player maybe in the last decade in the NBA. Michael Porter's not there yet. But we saw the other night in Minnesota, and I know Zach talked about the Dallas game, but the Minnesota game I thought was really interesting because the Nuggets had the malaise, right? Like, they had the, oh, we're not playing, you know, three different bigs from Minnesota who are awesome. Like, we don't really have to try this game. And they cakewalked him in the first half. The game was over. And then it was like, all right, well, we're going to get our rest in the second half. We're not really going to try. This game is over. And we saw the Minnesota Timberwolves fight back because guess what? NBA teams have about 14 guys on their team that are like unbelievable basketball players. It just so happens the top five guys on most NBA teams are like another level of that 15, right? And they took it to another level. They made a game out of it, and it turns into a Timberwolves 4-point lead out of a 15-point deficit with about 10 minutes left in the game, 8 minutes left in the game. And Nikola Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. check in, and instantly Michael Porter Jr. ends up being like the guy for the Nuggets down the stretch. And he ends the game with 26 points. He was the guy they were relying on. He had 15 shots in the game. And that was a really positive sign that Mike can be one of those guys that when the on switch is needed, when the Denver Nuggets need a bucket, not only can he do it, but Nikola Jokic trusts Michael Porter Jr. to get those big buckets. And by the way, the Minnesota Timberwolves are now a full game back of the Denver Nuggets for the two spot. Nuggets are a half game back of Oklahoma City for the one spot. So that was a huge game. So Mike's contributions in that game could end up meaning the Nuggets are hosting the Timberwolves in a playoff series come the second round rather than, you know, the other way around. You know, the Nuggets do have two more matchups with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and because of their division record, the Nuggets are going to need to win both of those in order to clinch the tiebreaker, which only matters if they end up tied in the standings. But that effort was huge and outstanding. And, you know, obviously KCP is maybe the most or the least talked about guy in the starting five. Aaron Gordon's had his moments this year where we're like just the perfect player for Nikola Jokic. But I do think that the production of Michael Porter, 20 points a game in the second half, I think 17 or 16 a game on the season, grabbing seven rebounds a night, has turned himself into a capable defender. I think his contributions often get lost, and people want to say, oh, the contract, it's a max contract. He's not a star player. I've got news for you. If you're going 50, 40, 90, and you're getting 7.5, 8 rebounds a night, that's a star player. Like, that's better than what Zion Williamson is adding to the Pelicans until, you know, maybe the last couple of weeks here. Zion's been fantastic. So Mike's not a star player. He's not an all-star. Jamal Murray's not even an all-star. He's not a top six guard in the West. He's probably not going to be an all-NBA player, and it's rightful. Like, there's just so many great players in the NBA. Jamal Murray's probably, in the regular season, the eighth best guard in the West. But if you count the playoffs, I mean, who are you taking over Jamal, right? Like, and that's when it really matters. Mike's turning into one of those guys for me. It's like, who do you really want to take at the small forward spot over Michael Porter Jr.? LeBron, Kevin Durant? Do you even take Mikal Bridges? Tatum's more of a four right now. Like, there's not a long list. So when the trade deadline comes around every year, the NBA offseason comes around every year, and like everyone's like, Nuggets, they could trade Mike, split Mike up into a couple players, or they could use Mike and another player to get that player. How does that benefit them? Are you really going to get more production out of XYZ player than you are Michael Porter Jr.? Because the production you're getting out of Michael Porter Jr. is fantastic. And by the way, this guy who a lot of people said is, you know, me first, you know, big-headed ego guy, he has done everything possible to endear himself to his teammates. He has learned to be political in terms of like when to ask for the ball and what to say into the media so it doesn't offend his teammates. He has put the team first. And this is a guy who came into the NBA saying, I want to be the greatest basketball player in the world. Now he goes, I want to be the second greatest basketball player in the world because Nikola Jokic is the greatest. I respect Michael Porter Jr. and what he's done in terms of his attitude, his play style, his development, his fighting through injuries, and what he brings to the Denver Nuggets as a whole so much. And the people who do not watch the Denver Nuggets are the ones that say, let's trade Mike because we can get XYZ. The people who watch the Denver Nuggets, the people in and around that organization have so many reasons to be impressed with Michael Porter Jr. And anytime I see one of these bad contract drafts and I see Mike on it, you know, I get it because it's a huge number and maybe the production doesn't line up with the numbers, but man, I'm hard pressed to find another player I'd rather have than Mike in that spot. And that's the point. Again, shout out to Jamal Murray. Great second half thus far. And the Nuggets are just rolling. They've got 14 games left in their season. I'm writing about this on DenverSports.com right now. Like, who would your dream playoff matchup be? NBA.com asked this question earlier today. You know, typical suspects of like, would be great basketball, Denver Nuggets, Phoenix Suns. If we got that in the first, probably the first round based off where that is right now, that would be fantastic. Nuggets, Boston would be an epic NBA finals, though I do think the Nuggets got that thing where like they play the Lakers where it will be tight, but the Nuggets just have something that makes them better than the Boston Celtics because they've beaten them a few times in a row now, and it's been kind of the same story in each of the games, right? So unless you get the math tilted where you know, the Celtics are just out rebounding the Nuggets by a bunch. So the math goes in their favor and they don't have to shoot as well of efficiency. Cause that's what the Suns did last year, right? Like they out rebounded the Nuggets in a couple games and the math just swayed in their favor in a couple of those games. And that's why they beat the Nuggets. So those would be fun matchups. I think for me, what I think about when I look at like what the Nuggets path could be, obviously as a basketball fan first, the Nuggets Thunder matchup would be incredible. Like this up and coming team against the reigning champions, two different play styles, dramatically different play styles. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's probably going to either be the MVP or the MVP runner up to Nikola Jokic, who's going to be the other one. That would be a fun battle, right? So like for me, like as a basketball fan, I think Nuggets versus OKC would be my dream playoff matchup. But like as someone who wants the Nuggets to do well, you're hoping for the Sacramento Kings. You're probably hoping for the Los Angeles Lakers. Dream scenario is playing the Golden State Warriors, who just look dysfunctional and are still somehow holding on to the 10 seed. And then if you get deep, like, you know, the Pelicans are playing really good ball, but the Nuggets have a really good matchup with them because I do not trust Jonas Valanciunas to stop Nikola Jokic. Nor do I trust anyone to stop the Denver Nuggets, but you look at their help defenders. Zion's not very active on defense. Brandon Ingram has made strides, but he's not someone I fear on defense. And CJ McCollum is a traffic cone. Let's be honest. We've seen how that plays out in the playoffs. So those are kind of what I'm looking at around the West. It's really the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, and the Thunder. And then it's kind of a giant grouping of teams between the Clippers, Kings, Pelicans, Lakers, Warriors, Suns all in there. And so it's really hard a month out to figure out who exactly the Nuggets are going to play in the first or second round. But you have a good idea if they go deep. They're probably going to run into, you know, the Thunder, Timberwolves, or Clippers. And that's where they got lucky last year. They played an 8-seeded Lakers team. They didn't run into anyone else. And the 2nd seed Memphis just fell apart because Ja got hurt and, you know, a bunch of guys on their team just kind of went awry. So that's what I'm looking at around the West. The other thing I'm looking at this week is, you know, I'm a big college basketball guy. I'll be in Indianapolis later tonight for the Colorado Buffaloes. What are the Nuggets looking at in the NBA draft? Because they do have a first round pick this year. They're not going to have many more in the coming years because of the Aaron Gordon trade, because they traded up into the first round last year. So this is a big draft to extend their championship window, just like it was this past season. And jury's still out on Julian Strother because he got hurt, but he looked good in limited action. I'm a big fan of his game at Gonzaga. So what will the Nuggets look to address? There's a chance KCP walks in free agency. Christian Brown would seemingly be his replacement, or Peyton Watson. Peyton Watson seems to me like the long-term solution if the Nuggets get cap crunched and have to move on from Aaron Gordon. So what would the Nuggets need? Well, Zeke Nagy is signed long-term to be the backup center, but his contract is super tradable. They traded Ismail Kamagate at the deadline, which was kind of their center in waiting. He was overseas. So do they need a center? Do they still need a backup point guard? Because Reggie's kind of at the end. They seemingly don't need more wings, but they love wings. So I'm kind of back and forth. One of the names I'm going to watch for, and you can watch him as well, Friday, he plays in Indianapolis, so I'll get a front row look at him, is Oso Iguodaro from Marquette. 16-7, power forward. I think he'd be an awesome guy to develop kind of behind Aaron Gordon, Peyton Watson. He's been the leader with Tyler Kolek of a really good Marquette team. And I'm a huge fan of his game. Another guy whose game I liked a lot, but not his off the court stuff, is Terrence Shannon Jr. 6'6" guard, 24 points a game. And he's for some reason going to go late in the first round, maybe because of off the court stuff. But from a basketball standpoint, I think Terrence Shannon Jr. would be just an absolute beast of a pickup for the Nuggets to be a backup guard. And then, you know, looking at where they're kind of mocked, people today, in fact, I think Sporting News or Sports Illustrated had Zach Edey, the 7'4", again, playing in Indianapolis, funny enough, going to the Denver Nuggets. I'd be stunned if they picked Zach Edey. That doesn't seemingly make a lot of sense for the Nuggets. They want more of a mobile big to be their backup than, you know, a kind of guy who is really tall and a really good college player, but I don't think he's going to crack it in the NBA. He does have some familiarity with Jamal Murray because he's on the Canadian national team. Then there's like Tristan Da Silva, who I don't want if I'm the Nuggets. I watch him up close to Colorado all the time. Had a great game in the first four, but just not the type of guy I want to be a rotational player. I don't think he's going to be that. And look, we're looking at the end of the first round. So if any of those these guys crack the rotation, it's a huge win. And the fact that they've gotten Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, and possibly Julian Strother late in the first round to be capable NBA players is a huge win for Calvin Booth. So, you know, they're going to be looking at guys, you know, in this tournament, KJ Simpson, another Colorado guy who's going to be late first round, early second round. And they're going to be seeing if their scouting reports line up with what kind of they're seeing in the tournament. And I think it's always fun to watch the tournament this time of year, even if you're not a big college basketball fan, if you're just a Nuggets fan and go, hey, what can we see the Nuggets do? Hey, I like that guy. I love that guy. Because last year I watched the tournament in Denver. I sent this tweet. Wow, Julian Strother hitting big threes in Denver. I don't think those will be his last ones. Would love to see him in a Nuggets uniform. Guess what? The Nuggets drafted him. So it's always fun to get to know a couple guys in college that are about to be in the league and impact the league. Obviously, the one I haven't talked about is Cody Williams, who's going to play for the Colorado Buffalo, or is playing for the Colorado Buffaloes, and is supposed to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. So out of the Nuggets range, but again, fun to familiarize yourself with these guys. That's all I've got for Mile High Hoops. Zach Bye will be back on Tuesday previewing a giant Nuggets game against the Phoenix Suns. Next Thursday's pod should be fun as well, because he'll have a recap of that game and then he'll preview another giant game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Nuggets have three pretty weak games coming up. The Knicks tonight, they're pretty much all hurt, so the Nuggets should cruise by then. And they've got Memphis and Portland, who are at the bottom of the West. So Nuggets could easily be 15-2 to start out of the break going into that Phoenix game, which could be their first matchup against the Suns with Beal, Booker, and Durant all playing, which would be really interesting, and that's in Denver. So that's it for Mile High Hoops. Jake Shapiro, follow my work at Shapalicious. We've got all sorts of Nugget stuff and Buff stuff and all just basketball stuff, NCAA tournament stuff on denversports.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Whether you need new appliances for your kitchen, laundry room, or outdoor cooking space, family-owned and operated Mountain High Appliance has you covered. I'm Brad Barnett, president of Mountain High Appliance. As Colorado's number one choice for appliances for the past 30 years, we offer professional delivery and installation and state-of-the-art showrooms where you can try before you buy. Plus, you're guaranteed the best price with our price match guarantee. When you think appliances, think Mountain High Appliance.
Mountain High Appliance, your favorite appliance store.
Thank you.